darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I felt this evening that having spoken on hell, I would this evening speak on heaven. And I draw your attention this evening to the verse 24. In this part of the Saviour's prayer, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And this is a verse of scripture that shows to us the will of God for each one of his people. And it is the Saviour's will that every last soul that puts their trust in him will be brought right through to heaven itself. And so I want us tonight to think about that place called heaven. But let us unite our hearts together in prayer, and we'll just ask the Lord briefly for his help as we come to the preaching of his word. Our God and our Father, how we thank thee this evening for this gospel meeting. And we praise thee, our Father, for all that has gone before, and for thy presence with us, and for help that has been given. And we thank thee tonight, our Father, that we've been reminded as we have read in thy word, that thy word is truth. And we ask, O God, for help tonight as we would preach thy word, that it might be a message to each and to every heart that is gathered here. A word, O God, that would encourage every believer as we think of that blessed hope that lies before us. And the word, O God, that might challenge any who is tonight or outside of Christ. And, O Father, we pray that thou wouldst draw them with the cords of love. Draw them, our Father, by thine irresistible grace, and bring them tonight to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do hear and answer prayer, and abide with us now, we pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. There was a saying which circulated amongst believers not so very long ago, and that saying was, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And you know, that's a false saying. And that's a saying that would have done much damage even in Christian circles, to come to that belief that you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, when the truth is that it is only the heavenly minded that are of any earthly good. And therefore it is a good thing for us to dwell on heaven and to think about that place where the glory of the Lord shines in all of its fullness, that place where the Word of God teaches us that there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more sickness, no more death. It's good to think about heaven. And it's good for us to think about it here this evening. But you know, it's impossible to think about heaven and not think about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the person and the place go together. You can't have one without the other. You cannot have heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, what matters where on earth we dwell, in cottage or in mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Heaven is where Jesus is. And you can't have heaven without having the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord here in this verse of scripture before us was referring to heaven, and he referred to it as the place where he was. Look at the words and consider them carefully. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And when the Lord Jesus was speaking about heaven, he was speaking of heaven as the place where he is and where his presence is known in all of its fullness. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. You know, whenever the Lord spoke in John chapter 14, a few chapters earlier, words that are so familiar to us, words that we would hear perhaps at almost every funeral we attend, because they're words where the Savior reminds us of heaven. And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Listen, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where I am. That's how the Savior spoke about heaven. A few nights ago, we considered the penitent thief. And you remember the one who turned to the Savior as he hung upon the cross beside him. And he said to the Lord, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And what a promise he received from the lips of the Savior. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What is paradise? It is being with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you cannot have the place without the person. They both go together. Heaven is where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Over in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 5, when the Lord in His Word was speaking to us here about eternity, the Apostle Paul was able to say there in verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord." And that's what heaven is. That's the hope of the believer. That moment when we become absent from the body, when the soul leaves the body, where will the believer be? Present with the Lord. That's heaven. Where Jesus is. 'Tis heaven there. Remember when the Apostle Paul was writing to the believers at Philippi, and he said to them, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart." And he didn't say a desire to depart and go to heaven. He said, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." You see what the Bible is teaching us, that heaven is the place where Jesus is. When the apostle was writing to the Thessalonians, and he was thinking again about the glory, and he spoke about that hope of the believer for eternity, and he said, "Forever with the Lord." With the Lord. And therefore, when you come through the Word of God, and we find heaven being referred to, over and over again, it's referred to as the place where the Savior is. Of course, the book of the Revelation would underline that for us as well. In Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 23, there's the description there of the New Jerusalem. And verse 23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." The Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there He is in the midst of the throne. The Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb has all the glory in Emmanuel's land. How good it is for us this evening to think about heaven and to explore that connection between the Lord Jesus Christ and heaven. And as we do that, I want to just leave a few simple points before you tonight. Firstly, as we think of the Savior, He's the one who brings us to heaven. And when you look at our text of Scripture in John 17 and the verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am." And there's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's praying for His people that they might be brought home to glory. And He's the one who brings His people to heaven. The Savior is responsible for bringing many sons to glory. But the thing to keep before us in any consideration of heaven is how can a guilty, hell-deserving sinner ever go to such a place? Now, whenever you think about that, we who were born of Adam's fallen line, we who were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, we who have transgressed and violated the law of God, how could we ever get to such a place? To be in that place where Jesus is. It's good tonight to dwell upon heaven. But the more that we dwell upon heaven, and the more we think about that place, the more that we realize we could never reach such a place by ourselves. It's the place where the glory of God shines in all of its brightness, in all of its fullness. It's a holy place where nothing that defiles will enter within its gates. So how could we ever get in? If there's nothing that defiles in heaven and there's no sin in heaven, how can we ever reach such a place? You know, when you go to the ordinary individual in the street, they would have this notion that all of the human race somehow deserve heaven. And perhaps there's some individual, a high profile individual, who passes away and all of a sudden they start speaking about them as being in heaven. And yet there's no testimony left behind that they ever repented of their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet people seem to just talk as if everybody's going to heaven. Just this universalism, and we'll all be there at the end of the day. In spite of all that the Bible teaches about man's depravity, man has this thought that somehow everyone will end up in heaven and everyone has a right to heaven. But when we see that place set forth as it is in the Word of God, we must confess we do not in the least deserve to be in heaven of ourselves, because we're sinners. And when we come to that realization, we come therefore to understand that there's only one possible way that we could ever get to heaven. And of course it brings us back to that chapter that we quoted from a little earlier, John chapter 14. Remember how the Lord was speaking there about heaven. And as he was speaking about it, he was talking to his disciples. He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." And Thomas immediately interrupted the Lord. Thomas said, "No, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" May the Lord give that answer for Thomas's benefit and for our benefit tonight. And Jesus said unto him in the verse 6 of that chapter, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Do you see it tonight in the gospel meeting? Whenever we think about heaven, and we see it as a place that we of ourselves could never attain, we could never reach, and we see that we're sinners before a holy God, and how could we ever get to that place? The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us there. He brings us there. And he does it on account of his death. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He died to take away our sin. And at the cross, he took our punishment for our sins. He himself was sinless. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And yet he took our punishment. He bore the penalty that was our due. And he paid in full the price for our redemption. He satisfied the demands of divine justice in the law. And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ unlocked the door of heaven. And tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, let me underline that to you. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in at Calvary's cross. It's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And when the soul accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they rest upon the finished work of the Savior. May we know the cleansing power of the Savior's precious blood, and the Lord fits us then for heaven, and it is then and only then that we're on our way to heaven. The Lord brings us there through His substitutionary death. And when we come to trust in Him and to rest upon that finished work, then and only then are we heaven bound. We've started out on the road to heaven. And now as we go along that earthly pathway, the Lord keeps us. We don't keep ourselves. There is what we call the perseverance of the saints, where the saints of God will persevere right to the very end and will enter into glory. But the perseverance of the saints is not some innate possession that we have whereby we will just make it in our own strength, as it were. We only persevere because of the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is our great high priest. He prays for us. That's what we're reading about here in John chapter 17. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. And through that intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He continues for us in heaven, on the basis of that, we are kept by the power of God. No wonder the little epistle of Jude finishes with those words, unto Him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Aye, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring every one of His people, those who have trusted in Him, He'll bring them right home to heaven. On the basis of His death and of His great work of intercession. And so if you're saved tonight, you're on your way to glory. The Lord is bringing you to glory, and that ought to rejoice our hearts. But tonight, if you're not saved, you may believe that such a place exists. You may acknowledge tonight there is a heaven. You may even have a desire within your heart that you want to go to that place. But if you have never repented of your sin and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it would be absurd for you to think that you would ever be in such a place. Because the person and the place go together. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, then you're not on your way to heaven. But tonight you could come to Him. And you could cry to the Lord for mercy. And you could call upon Him for salvation. And on the authority, on the promise of God's word, He has said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's only Christ tonight who can save you. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can bring you to heaven. I want us to notice, secondly, that not only is He the one who brings us to heaven, but we will behold the Savior in heaven. When you look at our text of Scripture in John 17 and the verse 24, He says, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. That they may behold my glory. And doesn't that reveal to us that the Christian, when they get through to heaven, they're going to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thought this evening. We can say to the believer that now we are in Christ. I was emphasizing that last night in our own gospel meeting, looking at Ephesians and how the Apostle Paul kept describing the Christian as one who is in Christ. We are united to Him by faith. And in that union with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many blessings that flow to us. We are joined to Him in an inseparable union for all eternity. We are members of His body, and we enjoy here below a blessed time of fellowship with the Lord. The Lord has promised to be present with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us. And we love Him because He first loved us. And we can know that sweetness of communion with the Lord day by day. There's a closeness there between Christ and His people that is undeniable. But we have to add this. While we're here below, it's all imperfect. Because here we walk by faith, not by sight. But one day soon, when He brings us right home to glory, faith will give way to sight. And we shall behold Him. We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory. For the first time, we shall see His face. Way back in the book of Job. And Job had that very hope. And yet Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible, if not the oldest book in the Bible. And in Job chapter 19, and in the verse 25, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." My Job, way back in the earliest of days, he had this hope within him, "In my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold Him." What confidence Job had! That's the confident hope of every child of God tonight. That in our flesh, we shall see God. We're going to see our Savior. In Isaiah, and the chapter 33, and in the verse 17, "Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold the Lamb that is very far off." There's how it is put to us in the prophecy of Isaiah. We shall see the King in His beauty. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13 and the verse 12, he said, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, face to face shall I behold Him. Far beyond the starry sky." The Beatitudes, the Lord said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When the Apostle John wrote that first epistle in chapter 3 and the verse 2, he said, "We shall see Him as He is." On all of these occasions, it's repeated over and over again, the hope for every child of God, and it's a hope that is both sure, and it's a hope that is steadfast. And we're going to see our Savior. As we contemplate that blessed truth, it ought to stir our hearts that we are going to see the King in all of His beauty, and for all of the difficulties and the trials and the struggles that we go through in this old life, we can say this: it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. just one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So simply run the race till we see him. In 2 Corinthians 4, the verse 17, the apostle says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Child of God, what a blessing it is to have that hope within our hearts tonight. But again, we must think of those who perhaps as yet are still unsaved. Oh, that you would know tonight that blessed hope as you trust in the Saviour that He's bringing you to heaven. And that one day you shall behold Him face to face. The third and final thought that I would leave before you tonight is that the Saviour is the blessing of heaven. Because in our text of Scripture, when it says that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, that beholding of the Saviour's glory actually involves the thought that somehow we're going to share His glory. And that the Lord Jesus Christ will bless our hearts throughout the ages of eternity. This applies in respect of glory. That the Lord, it's not a case of just arriving into heaven and beholding the Saviour's face and then turning away to enjoy the other blessings of heaven. No, the truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the blessing of heaven. Therefore, He is the one who will bless us for all eternity. Recently in our own church in Dromore, we were considering in a little series, The Right Hand of God. And the psalmist in Psalm 16 and the verse 11 said of the Lord, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And there's God's people, and they're there. They're at His right hand. And there are pleasures forevermore just flowing to His people right throughout all eternity. Christ remains to be the blessing of His people. He is the blessing of His people here below. He's blessing us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And whenever we get to heaven, that's going to continue in an infinitely greater way. We'll be blessed of the Lord. And as a result of that, we will return to Him our worship. And we will join in the great chorus of heaven singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," because there are innumerable blessings for the people of God in heaven. It's hard for us to contemplate that while we're here below, while we face all the battles of life. And we know the frailty of the flesh. My, at times here below, heaven just seems to be something of a distant place and even a mysterious place to us. But the prospect of death, it's all going to change. And just in a moment, we can enter into the presence of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Dwell upon this, child of God. There's great encouragement in this truth this evening, that there we will meet our Saviour and we will be with Him and we will be blessed by Him forever. And therefore death for the believer is not something that we should fear. You know, some people have a great fear of death. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross to deliver His people from that fear. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 14. Just listen to the words carefully. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Lord delivers his people from the fear of death. And you know, death for the child of God is just a doorway. Just a doorway through which we must enter. But it ushers us into the immediate presence of our Lord and Savior. Now what a hope, what a blessed hope that we have this evening through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know it tonight? Do you know the joy of sins forgiven? Do you know the closeness of the Lord and his people here below? Do you know those blessed times of sweet communion and fellowship in prayer that are really a heavenly experience here below? It was Charles Spurgeon who made that strange yet true statement when he said, if we do not get to heaven before we die, we'll not be in heaven after we die. What did he mean by that? Well, he meant that here below, as we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and as we fellowship with him, and we know times of blessed communion and closeness with him, we're getting a little foretaste. Just a little foretaste of heaven. And therefore, if we don't taste heaven before we die, we'll not be in heaven after we die. Because here below you must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And when you come to the Lord, just surrendering your heart to the Lord and believing upon him, the Lord has promised to save. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And to believe on him is to receive him into your heart and to accept him as your own and personal Savior. That's the new birth. And it's difficult for us to describe the new birth. Remember the story about a man called John Peterson. And John Peterson was sitting in a Bible conference meeting, and they decided to have a time of testimony. And they were giving opportunity for individuals all over that vast conference to stand to their feet and just to give a word of testimony as to how the Lord had saved them. And John Peterson later said that there was an elderly gentleman during that time of open testimony who slowly rose to his feet. And he began to tell of how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he got to that point in his testimony where he accepted the Lord as his own and personal Savior, he found it difficult just to put it into words and to explain it. And after he paused for a moment or two in thought, he said it was as if heaven came down and glory filled my soul. As John Peterson heard those words of testimony, he was greatly struck by them. And he wrote that phrase down, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And later on, he would actually pen the hymn based upon those words. It's one of the hymns in our hymn book. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away. My night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Though that even in this gospel mission, in this very meeting tonight, that some soul would yield their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would know tonight that taste of heaven within their heart. May God bless his word to each one of us this evening. Thank you.